So I'm going to be reading from Romans chapter 8, and we're going to start at verse 31. Romans chapter 8, it's on the screen. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Thanks, Deb. Well, a particular welcome to all the kids who are in church with us today. You guys are involved, you didn't realise it, but you're in a competition. And the competition is who can actually fill in all the correct answers on the form. I think there's going to be a massive competition between the Hung boys and the Lee boys, but we'll just see who wins. But if you follow along, you'll be able to follow along with my talk and answer the questions as we go, and I'll give you some hints as we go through as well. Well, if you were asked to sum up COVID in one word, what word would you use? PG. One word. The word I would use would be separation. We've been separated from family. We've been separated from friends. We've been separated from workmates. We've been separated from places we frequent. We've been separated from activities that we do. We've been separated from restaurants we like to go to. You might even say we've been separated from the rest of the world and Western Australia. It's separation. And now it feels like we're living with COVID. It feels even harder and like we're more separate. There are more people with the disease or more people in isolation. And while we might be seeing an end around the corner, the good news that I received when I had recovered from COVID and I got my text from New South Wales Health was that I'm now immune for 4 weeks. So that's great. And so can I say that this has made the life of 1030 Church desperately sad for the whole time that Nikki and I have been here at Christchurch St Ives. If you're only new with us in the last couple of years, my first Sunday was the 1st of March 2020. And on the 17th of March 2020, the lockdown began, and I have checked it out, it's not my fault. So that's all I can say. Friends, there is much to lament about the last 2 years. And for some of us, there is much to lament from before then. But as this morning we embark on something new next week, as we look to something new next week, I want to take the opportunity to remind you that despite the experience of the last 2 years, and despite the experience of separation we've had from so many things that we may love and enjoy dearly, this morning I want you to go home with this. It's that nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I want us to launch into our new services with great confidence in the power of God that has been exercised for us. I want us to have great boldness because the power of God has been exercised for us. I want us to engage in great prayerfulness because the power of God has been exercised for us and for our salvation. I want us to leave here today confident of that and gripping on to that. And so our focus is going to be Romans chapter 8, verse 31 to 39, where Paul asks four questions that I think we're meant to answer out loud. They're not really rhetorical questions. I think he's trying to expose our hearts. If we're a reader of this part of Romans, you're sort of meant to get there and see the question and answer with an explosion of joy from your own heart, so that our passions would be ignited, that we might live each day with a gospel-shaped mindset and with gospel confidence and gospel boldness and gospel prayerfulness all our days. And so he focuses on two things. And here are the two things. Hint, if you have a sheet and you're reading along. Our sin cannot stop God's love. And we're going to see later on our circumstances. The things that happen in life cannot stop God's love. So first, our sin cannot stop God's love. And three of the four questions make this point. His first question in verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? If the maker and creator and sustainer of the universe is on your side, who can really be your opponent? Is anyone strong enough to disrupt his plans for you? Does anyone have the power to change God's plans, to forgive your sin and draw you into a relationship with him? Is there someone big enough or strong enough who could possibly do such a thing? You know, 8 years ago, Brody, our number four, our son, took up playing indoor cricket. And he joined a team, a bunch of mates from school and his cricket team, other bits and pieces, and they were all 10 years old. And the only competition they could get into was the under 13s. There is some difference between a 10-year-old and a 13-year-old. And Brody discovered this one Friday night. He's now a tall lad, just a fraction taller than me. Just a fraction. But there was one Friday night where this bunch of sort of 4 foot something boys walked onto the arena. And then this bunch of 6 foot something boys walked onto the arena. And I tell you, that night, irrespective of how they tried, they fell aside because the other team was bigger and stronger and more powerful. They were no opposition for them. And that's what God is like against any power. Who is it? Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? The answer is no one. No one. What does he go on to say? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? See, not only is God for Christians, but his promises to us are guaranteed, no matter what. The argument of verse 32 is essentially, if he's done the hard thing of giving up his son, how much more will God do the easier thing of fulfilling his promises of eternal life and ultimately us being with him in glory? And so at the very start of this passage, Paul is just saying, God is for you. He's on your team. God is not against you. He's not in heaven cranky at you like that mean teacher in the playground who you definitely do not want to see later this week. That's not what God is like. He is on your side. And he is your friend. But Paul doesn't stop there. No, verse 33, he asks the next question. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Can anyone overrule God's forgiveness? Can anyone overrule God's work through Christ at the cross? No, indeed, he says, it is God who justifies. God's already completed a work in you and in me in making us people that now are just as if we'd never sinned, In his eyes, he sees us as forgiven. And then verse 34, the third question that he then asks, he says, who then is the one who condemns? And Paul immediately gives the answer. No one. No one can condemn you when you trust Christ. No one, because Christ who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. You see, not only did Jesus die for our sins, but right now he sits at the right hand of God, interceding for us, applying the work of his sacrifice on our behalf, even when we continue to sin. Jesus is there, ensuring the freedom that he won for us at the cross is continually applied to us as we walk with him by faith. So friends, I wonder if you can see what Paul is emphasizing here. It is that when you trust in Jesus, the God of the universe is for you and he is your friend. That when you trust in Jesus, the God of the universe is for you and he is your friend. The point is clear. As we continue to seek Christ, nothing can stop God's love for us. But it's worth just pausing and asking, why is Paul laboring this point? Why three questions? Why bring it up at this point in time when he's just spent the whole of Romans saying God loves you and God's forgiven you and he's adopted you and reconciled with you and will not condemn you? Why does he bring it all here together in this beautiful summary? Well, just perhaps it's because many Christians in his day, and I suspect many Christians in our day, still think that somehow, in some way, God's against them. That God is a threat to them. I think there are some Christian people who still think that God is up in heaven still deciding on your salvation, even though you trust Christ. And so some Christian people walk bearing guilt, bearing shame, and in fear. And this morning I want to ask, is that you? What do you see when you look in the spiritual mirror? Do you see a sinner? Or a saint? Do you see victory or failure? Do you see forgiveness? Or do you see the impossibility of forgiveness? You see, the news of the summary here at the end of Romans chapter 8, after eight amazing chapters of writing that Paul has given us in the power of the Spirit, the news of this passage is just simply this. Your God is not against you. As you trust Christ, your God is not against you. Indeed, the opposite. God delights in forgiving the sins of those who will seek him and find him and trust him and walk with him. He delights in setting us free to serve him with joy. And what I find is that when a believer feels guilt and shame, fear, it's because they are holding on to such things themselves. They're gripping onto their sin, even when God isn't still gripping onto their sin, because he forgave that sin at the cross. And so what should we see if we were able to look in a spiritual mirror is not a sinner and not a failure, but a person who's loved and a person who is forgiven. And if you don't see yourself yet like this, can I just remind you this morning that you are robbing yourself of joy and hope and life. So come back to the gospel. Come back to the death of Christ. Come back to the resurrection of Christ. Come back to the very Jesus who sits at the right hand of the Father even now And as you trust him, he's whispering your name for forgiveness. We don't become Christians so we can try to please God. You become a Christian because you realize your attempts to please God are futile, useless, and that you need the forgiveness that he offers in Christ. And when you grip on to this, you will live with joy and hope, knowing that God's love is towards you, and indeed, when you trust Christ, you have nothing to fear. Well, that's all good. And you might say, thanks so much, Nigel, but have you heard of COVID? Have you seen my life? Have you seen the circumstances of my life? Because the circumstances of my life make me feel like perhaps God has abandoned me. I don't bear that guilt and shame that some might, but I look at my life and I think, I'm not sure God is around that much because I'm struggling. And so we come to our second point this morning. God has not abandoned you. And in the fourth question Paul asks and answers, he's going to make our second point, and he says our circumstances, the things that happen in our lives, cannot stop God's love. Look with me from verse 35. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What's interesting is that he doesn't name people, he names circumstances, doesn't he? Things that happen to people. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Paul is saying, quoting from Psalm 44, Christian people, God's people, have always had a difficult time. Are these things able to separate us from God's love? Can my circumstance of my life be an indication that God has wandered off to look after someone else? And Paul says at the start of verse 37, what's the first word in verse 37? Thank you for the three people who can read. Very helpful. What is the first word in verse 37? No. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's love is unstoppable. God's love is unstoppable. And the circumstances of life never proclaim an absence of his love. Now that might be hard to hear for some of us. Hard to hear when life has been rough. And not just for 2 years, but for 22 years or 52 years. But the point here is that Paul is just saying nothing can get in the way of this love. His point is not that the love of God for his people promises escape from these things or triumph over these things. But actually, often God enables us to triumph in these things and through these things. What we see over and over again in the Bible is that trusting God requires patience and perseverance. And particularly when everything around you is falling down or there is impending disaster or failure, for God can and does rescue his people from crisis. But he often rescues his people through crisis. And either way, his love never fails. Indeed, the Bible never promises an easy life or freedom from suffering and pain, but God does promise that he will be with you in it. He will enable you to stand, and at the last, he will bring you into an eternal glory that far outweighs any struggle or strife we may experience now. You will be a conqueror as you cling to God through the mess, and as his love enables you to do that, such that the worst of life's arrows, it's never proof that God has abandoned you. But as you walk on with faith, you will be a conqueror through Jesus in his strength. And indeed, that is proof of his enduring love. But as we come here to this little passage and this morning, this word of God is meant to give us a deep and firm and unshakable, a God-brought, blood-purchased security in his all-conquering love. That in anything life has to offer, he will not curse you. He will not forsake you or walk away. But he will hold fast as you hold fast to him, even when everything else disappears. And between now and then, we need to stop holding on to our sin and guilt and stop doubting his love when things are hard. So what does Paul say? If God is for us, who can be against us? No one. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? No one. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing and no one. So let us not berate ourselves with guilt and fear and shame and doubt our salvation. Rather, let us clothe ourselves in love and forgiveness and the victory of Christ for us. And as we press on to something new next week, I want to encourage you to arrive at these new congregations with the determination to do that. That together, we might be those who drink deeply of the knowledge of the forgiveness of God that is ours in Christ. That we might not come into church and sort of turn up and be like, "Be thou my vision." But actually that we might embody the forgiveness and victory of Christ. And we might encourage one another to know that we're loved. Know that we're forgiven. Know that we are victorious in Christ. That wherever you land next week, that you might be a spirit of encouragement to someone else. Whoever you sit next to next week, who might be new, who you may never have seen in your life before, that you may sit next to them and remind them, we have victory in Jesus. We have victory in life because we've got Jesus. We are forgiven people in Jesus, and God loves you and he loves me. Let us go with a determination encourage people in this good gospel news that your God is not against you. Now, lots is going to change, but this is not going to change. Nothing in all creation, not COVID, not new congregations, not anything, is able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.